وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء for your beautiful duas, Hazrat Maulana Salim Sahab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa, wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أصحاب الجنة اليوم في شغل فاكهون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, at the end of the 22nd para in Surah Yasin, mention has already been made of those Anbiya who were sent for the guidance of people of a certain town. However, those people were not ready to follow the role of guidance. So when the townspeople falsified all three Anbiya, one from amongst the inhabitants of that place, whose name the commentators have mentioned as Habib Najjar, came running to warn his people of Allah's punishment on them if they caused any harm to the Anbiya. He advised them to follow the Anbiya, and when he explained to them and proclaimed his belief in front of all the people, they attacked and martyred him. After martyrdom, he was honored with entrance into Jannah. قِيلَ دُخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. When he saw the bounties of Allah Ta'ala with his own eyes, which Allah has prepared for the people of Iman, then these words emerged spontaneously from his mouth. Oh, if only my people had known the reason why my Rabb has forgiven me and made me from amongst the honored people. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala states that this believer was a well-wisher of his people during his life and after death also. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala expresses pity over his servants that whichever messenger came to them, they mocked him. Besides the above mentioned, other important points in Surah Yasin also mentioned. From among the many universal proofs of Allah Ta'ala's existence, oneness and power, which have been mentioned over and over in the Quran, three types of proofs are mentioned. The dead land, which is given life by rain. The day and the night, the sun and the moon. The boats and ships which move in the oceans. Together with these proofs, Surah Yasin is also proclaimed such a reality which the people of knowledge were unaware of at the time of the revelation of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala states, pure is that being who has created pears from that which the earth grows, and from themselves and from those things which they do not know. It was the ideology of the people of the past that pears were only found in humans and animals. The present-day scientists have after lengthy investigations and after much mental exertion have proven that pears are not only found in humans, but also in plants, in organic matter, and in the whole universe, so much so that the atom, which is the smallest particle of matter, is also made up of two parts, the electron and the proton. These two parts are similar to the male and female. Besides Surah Yasin, in Surah Al-Zariyat also, this scientific point had been shown centuries before. There Allah Ta'ala states, and from everything we created pairs so that you may take heed. Thereafter, Surah Yasin describes the horrors of Qiyamah and the blowing of the trumpet. When the trumpet will be blown for the first time, people will be immersed in their daily activities and in buying and selling. On hearing the sur, the trumpet of Israfil alayhi salam, a condition of fear and bewilderment will overcome them. This is called nafqatul faza', When the sur will be blown for the second time, death will come to everything and everyone. Besides Allah, who is Hayy and Qayyum, the being who keeps others in existence. When the sur, the trumpet, will be blown for the third time, all will rise from the grave and will stand in front of the true judge. There none will be oppressed. The pious believers will be favored with Jannah and the favors of Jannah, whereas the sinners who would reside amongst the pious in the world, they will be separated. A seal will be placed on their mouths and their limbs will testify against them. اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. So since this surah discusses mainly life after death, therefore it concludes also on this topic. And Allah Ta'ala says, does the one who created the heavens and earth not have the power to create others like them? Why not, when he is a prolific creator and all-knowing? When he wills anything, his only command is to say, for it, if Allah Ta'ala just says be, and it comes into being. Then we go on to Surah As-Saffat. This surah begins with mention of those angels always busy with the worship, praises and glorifications of Allah Ta'ala. Then the jinn are mentioned, who make efforts to eavesdrop over reports of the angels in the heavens. A blazing star pursues them and puts them into flight. So Surah As-Saffat discusses the issue of resurrection and recompense, and mentions that the stand of the mushrikeen regarding life after death is very amazing. They mock at this belief and they cannot understand how a human being can be resurrected after decomposing and mixing with the soil. So Allah Ta'ala says that the work which they regard as difficult but rather impossible is not at all difficult for Allah Ta'ala. When Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet for the third time, then all will rise out of their graves. Then with great regret and sorrow they will say, this is the day of recompensing of one's actions, which we used to mock. They will then be thrown into Jahannam. There they will fight amongst themselves, and each one will try to place the blame on the other for his misguidance. So besides the mutual discord of the people of Jahannam, the surah also makes us listen to a conversation of the people of Jannah, when they have been pleased with every type of bounty and they will be sitting on thrones of respect and honor, millions of times more happier than princes. They will think of their past. One of them will say, I had one friend who used to say to me that it is very surprising that you believe in the hereafter. How can it be that once we are sent and once we are in our graves and we mix with the sand and our bones, we will be resurrected? How can a reckoning be taken of our whole life and then we'll be punished or rewarded for it? I cannot understand these things, some people would say. So I do not know why do you have so much conviction of such things, contrary to logic. So this believer in Jannah will then ask his companions, do you want to see him? They will rise and look. They will see the worshipper of his intellect and denier of the hereafter burning in the center of Jahannam. This believer will say, by Allah, you almost destroyed me. If it was not for the bounty of my Rabb, then I too would have been from amongst those brought forward to be punished. Thereafter, the surah discusses the incident of some Anbiya alayhi salam. And the first incident of Shaykhul Anbiya, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, whose people belied him, and these people eventually drowned. The second incident is of Hazrat Ibrahim Khalilullah. Two trying stages of his life are mentioned. The first stage is of his call to Tawheed, that is how he called his people to Iman, how he made apparent his inability to participate in the yearly festival, how he destroyed their idols with his own hands, what plans the mushrikeen made to burn him alive, and how Allah Ta'ala saved him. The second stage is of the famous incident of slaughtering his son. This incident is only mentioned in Surah As-Saffat. Inni ara fil manami inni azhabu asbahu, that I am making your dhiba, I am slaughtering you. Fanzur madha tara. So even though other incidents of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam have been mentioned in many places in the Quran, so Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's whole life passed in trials and tests for the pleasure of Allah. However, this test compared to the others was most terrifying and difficult. In a dream, Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded to slaughter his son. إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك. He being an embodiment of obedience and willingness, immediately got ready. He told his son the dream, which he immediately accepted. He placed his son down on his forehead and began slaughtering him. Immediately revelation came from Allah. قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. O Ibrahim, verily you have brought the dream to a realization. In this way, we reward those who do good. Verily, this was a difficult and bitter test. Leave the child and slaughter the ram which is standing by in place of him. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. So the third incident is of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. The fourth incident is of Hazrat Ilyas alayhi salam, who was sent as a Nabi to a nation in Sham. They used to worship an idol by the name of Baal. On the name of this idol, a city was named Baal Bakka, whose relics can be found even today in the west of Damascus. The fifth incident is of Hazrat Khalil alayhi salam's nephew, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. He was sent to take the message to the people of Sodom, which is on the outskirts of Jordan. However, they had become blind and deaf, being involved in the worst form of disbelief and following of desires. They were not prepared to listen to the message of guidance. Finally, they were engulfed in an exemplary punishment. The sixth incident is of the Yunus alayhi salam, who had to stay in the stomach of a fish for some period, and whose people, on seeing the signs of punishment, immediately sought forgiveness. So at the end of the incident of the Anbiya, Allah Ta'ala states, verily our word has been decreed for our servants who have been sent. Verily they will be assisted, and verily our army will remain victorious. So at the end of the surah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is commanded to turn away from these antagonists. The praises and purity of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is also mentioned. Then in Surah Sa'd, Allah Ta'ala takes an oath on this great Quran. The oath is either on the Quran being a miracle, on the truthfulness of Nabi, or the truthfulness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The important points in the surah, the mentioning of Taqwini, the universal science of Allah Ta'ala's oneness and greatness. We are told that the mushrikeen are also involved in pride, foolishness and ignorance. They are surprised that a man like them has been made a Nabi and has been sent to warn and explain to them. Also surprising to them is that they have chosen different gods for different tasks, while the Nabi claims that one Allah is sufficient for the whole system of life and death of all mankind. So after showing the foolish and ignorant thinking of the disbelieving Quraysh, Surah Sa'd shows the outcome of the proud people and the idol worshippers of past nations, who due to denial and disobedience became worthy of the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So while showing the outcome of the proud people and deniers of the past nations, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is instructed to exercise patience on one side, and on the other side is commanded to remember Hazrat Dawud Alayhi Salam, whom Allah Ta'ala bestowed with outward, inward, worldly and religious strength. Every consecutive day he would fast. Half the night he would sleep and half the night he would spend in worship. He was the king of a vast empire and a high-ranking Nabi also. He had been granted a heart involved in the remembrance of Allah, a grateful tongue and a captivating voice. When he would recite the Zabur, birds would stop in the air. When his tongue was moist with the praises of Allah Ta'ala, the mountains would also become involved in his praises. Together with Dawud alayhi salam, good mention is made of his son Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. His kingdom with regards to means and resources was even more vast and splendid than his father's. The wind and jinn were made subservient to him. The third incident is of Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam. He was from the progeny of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. He had an abundance of wealth and riches. He owned gardens, mansions, agricultural lands, cattle, servants, and many children. Tests came from Allah Ta'ala, so everything was taken away. His children passed away. His cattle died. His gardens were ruined. The agricultural lands were destroyed. His friends and relatives changed their attitude towards him. In place of wealth and riches, poverty overtook him. He became afflicted with sickness and difficulty. And in some commentaries, it is mentioned that this test remained for 18 years. And his body was inflicted with sores. But he would always make dua to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I don't mind the condition of my body, but keep my tongue intact so I can keep on glorifying you and praising you. And besides Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam, Surah Sa'd makes a brief mention of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Ishaq, Hazrat Yaqub, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam as well. And it also speaks of Hazrat Zulkifl and Hazrat Yas'a. They are all praised by Allah Ta'ala. Finally, the incident of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Iblis is mentioned with some detail. And at the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala commands his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should mention the purpose and reality of his call. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, I do not ask you for any wage, nor am I from those who show artificial behavior. This is only an advice for the people of the world. You will come to know of his condition after some time. So these were the beautiful, profound messages in the Noble Quran, stories of the Anbiya from which we can take heed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq of understanding the Noble Quran and its message. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us good, pious Muslims who have full faith in Allah and the year after, knowing that it's a reality, and work towards Jannah. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.